Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It is a great honor to be a son in the house, and I was asked to take the service again tonight, so I just want to say thank you, Pastor Alex and Pastor Naomi. It doesn't matter how many times I preach, I will always say that in every service, because I honestly and truly am grateful for the opportunity. Amen. And I believe we have the most amazing spiritual parents here. Amen. So tonight I'm going to be talking about something that is very near. I feel like I say this every time I come up to preach, but it really is the truth on this particular one. You can ask Pastor Alex. I've been begging to minister on this topic for long, and he finally gave me the grace to do so tonight. So I'm very excited. Tonight, I want to address a topic, and before I even tell you what it is, it's very important that I let you know I'm addressing this topic tonight as a son in the house and a fellow brother to you all. I'm not a spiritual father. I cannot be a spiritual father until you first learn how to be a spiritual son. Amen? And when I address sons, and I talk about spiritual sons and all of these facts, ladies in the house, that pertains to you as well. Sons and daughters, amen. But I just instinctively, I'm going to say sons. So don't just take it for you. So just all the ladies in the house, throw your right hand in the air and say, I receive. Amen. Okay. So when I talk about sonship, you just, I receive, and you take it for yourself. Amen. If I have to be the bride of Christ, you know, you can be a son in the house. Amen. But I want to talk about sonship. I also understand that a lot of people will not touch this subject because of some previous, not in this house, but because of stuff that happened in the past, there was manipulation and other things that took place in the past, and a lot of people will not cover this, and I think it's a shame, because there's so much out there for us as sons and daughters in the house of God that we can get from this word. So please understand, this is in no way, shape, or form to manipulate or to twist in any way, shape, or form. It's just the facts. And I love shundai messages where we shout and preach and stand on our head and jump around and scream hallelujah, and it's wonderful, but tonight is really more of a teaching. So it's a little awkward for me because I like to preach, but I gotta try to stick to my notes tonight. I have this tendency to stay down there. Talk about the word of God, and tonight I'm gonna try my best to actually teach. But we have a God in heaven, Abba Father. He's our heavenly Father. And there's nothing to be mistaken by that or taken away from that, because He is our Father. Period, cut and dry. Amen. He's our daddy. We're King's babies. But just as He is our Abba Father, God has placed spiritual men and women in the body of Christ to lead and to teach and to edify and to build up and to endorse and all these different things. And that's what I want to be talking about tonight, is spiritual fathers. Pastor Alex is my spiritual father. 100%, as he is with many of you. Pastor Naomi is our spiritual mother. He is for me. She is for me. She is for my wife. And I'm sure she is for many of you as well. But tonight I want to address this. As there are spiritual fathers within the body of Christ, they lead, they teach, they love, they guide, and they raise up. And so I'm going to give a lot of scripture tonight, so just try to, amen. Let's just jump into it. 1 Corinthians 4 and 14. 1 Corinthians 4 and 14. It says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. And for this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up, as though I were not coming to you. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? Now you can see the fatherly love here of Paul. I absolutely love the writings of Paul. I absolutely love studying the relationship between Paul and Timothy, because they share this father and son relationship. Timothy was not Paul's biological son. He wasn't, but he refers to Timothy over and over and over again as his son in the faith. Timothy was Paul's spiritual son. And I love seeing the interaction, and you could just see just Paul addressing the church in such a fatherly way. He says, listen, shall I come to you with a rod? You need a little spanking? Or do you want me to come with love and gentle and a spirit of gentleness? And I love verse 15. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ. Listen, we have a lot of teachers. We have a lot of preachers around. A lot of them. But where are the spiritual fathers? And I've heard it many, many times. Where are the spiritual fathers in the faith? Well, in the faith. But tonight I don't want to address the spiritual fathers, because I am not. I want to ask the question, where are the true sons? Where are the true sons? It's about time we stop looking in the mirror, or we stop looking at our spiritual fathers and blaming our oversight all the time. And we need to start looking in the mirror and saying, am I a reflection of a good son? Okay, we'll get into it. Got to teach. In 1 Timothy 1:1-2, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Now, I'm going to butcher this, and I apologize if we have any wonderful Greek people in the congregation tonight, because my Greek is terrible. But the word true here is the word genosis, which means belonging to the race, lawfully begotten, genuine, legitimate, approved, and loyal. Now, my question is, if we have true sons, that must mean we have illegitimate sons as well. And Paul writes here to Timothy, a true son in the faith. Timothy was not a biological son. He was a son in the faith. And they shared this, as I said before, father-son relationship. And Paul is constantly addressing him all the time. Timothy was very young when he took over the church of Ephesus. It's, you know, I don't want to get into theological, but he was very young. A lot of people say 17, 18, right around that age. And Ephesus was a massive church. It was huge, one of the largest in its time. And I'm like 27. I cannot imagine 10 years ago. First of all, I wasn't even saved. So it probably wouldn't have been a good idea for me to try to run a church at 17. At least when I was 17, I'm in a rough church. Jonah would have been showing up at that church. Repent or die. But I can only imagine at 17 years old taking over a church of give or take 100,000 members. And there was all sorts of problems going on, and all these different people coming and trying to come against Timothy, or trying to sway them to their doctrine and trying to force their doctrine and their opinion and all these different things. And Paul writes to Timothy regularly and says, my true faithful son, my one true faithful son, let me teach you in my ways. All the time. And he's constantly encouraging him and showing him how to handle certain situations within the church. Is everybody okay? Just laying a foundation. We're going to get somewhere in a minute, but we got to just... Okay. Philippians 2:19-24. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may also be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that a son with his father, he served me in the gospel, and therefore I hope to send him at once, and as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come to you shortly. Timothy carried the same DNA as his spiritual father. It says that no one, if we can jump back to verse 20, for I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. I have no one like-minded. Timothy carried the same DNA as his spiritual father. That means that Paul could trust him to send him out to minister. Not as his replacement, and you guys have heard me say this before, I never want to be a replacement for Pastor Alex. I just want to be an extension of his ministry. Timothy was very clearly just an extension of Paul. So if it was like as if sending Timothy was almost as like sending Paul to go and minister. He was a reflection of. And as sons and daughters in the house, we need to be reflections of, not little mini Pastor Alex's and Pastor. Listen, I tell too many jokes when I preach to be exactly like Pastor Alex. I do weird things and I hop around and I run up and down the stage like Elijah's servant, and that's my style. But at the end of the day, if I get up here and I minister a word, it's the greatest honor for me for you to see my spiritual father in me as I begin to preach, because I carry the same DNA as my father. So if I get up and share a word, it's like my dad was here in first service, and somebody came up and they shook my hand and they looked over and they looked back at me and they said, "That's your boy, isn't it?" Right? Has anybody ever had that? I don't know if you look like your dad, or maybe you look more like your mom. Pick one. I happen to look like my dad. He's got a little less hair than me, but I'm catching up. It's getting thinner up top. Y'all pray for me. Rogaine ain't working. But we look similar. And when we stand next to each other, you can almost like, maybe they're, but then the minute that you open up, I open up my mouth and you hear me and then you hear him, it like removes all doubt, because we sound the same, we laugh the same, we got the same corny jokes, dry humor for days. My wife, amen. The same happens. That's my natural father, but the same should happen as my spiritual father. As I'm a spiritual son, there's too many S's tonight. I should reflect the image of my spiritual father. Always stand as a reflection or an extension rather than a replacement. Because illegitimate sons will always seek to be a replacement of their father. Illegitimate sons will always seek their own agenda. Let's go to the next scripture. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Illegitimate sons will always seek their ministry. They'll always seek their opportunity. You get an opportunity, pastor sends you out. This is your great chance to be the great hoodoo voodoo prophet. And you've arrived. You've shown up on the block. It's now my opportunity to seek my own agenda, to seek my own ministry rather than building up his ministry. Anybody out there? Illegitimate sons will always seek their own agenda rather than reflecting their pastor. I know this isn't exactly the most pleasing thing, but we need to hear it. Amen. Can we go to the next scripture? And this one's powerful. But I know his proven character. I'm going to go on a tangent for a second. Just a little bit. His proven character. Proven character. There's a problem in this generation, and I don't know where it comes from, and I don't know why it's there, but it's called entitlement. I'm gonna go on a little tangent, y'all. Give me some grace. Entitlement. We show up, we got a little bit of an anointing, we got a little something on our lives, we got the hour, the power for the hour, and now all of a sudden, I have arrived. But is your character proven? The anointing will get you there, but your character will keep you there. You can blow up in a second and blow down just as fast. The anointing will get you to where you need to go, but your character will keep you there. I want all the benefits of the son. I want all the benefits and to be endorsed in ministry and all these different things as a son in the house. But what is your character saying? Paul says that you know that his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. That's not, I'm here for a week, now I need the pulpit. I can prophesy. You should see what I can do in a U group. It's now my chance. Come on, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? But is your character proven? Character flaws hurt. They're painful to deal with. Listen, I am not a perfect son. I wish I could stand here tonight and minister this word as a son who hasn't made any mistakes, but I have. Your character needs to be proven. And regardless of my mistakes, I'm still here. It's like a child, all of a sudden, Dad, I'm turning 16, you know, Pops, where's my truck? A good dad would buy me a truck. A good dad would send me out. A good dad would let me minister. A good dad would let me... Anybody out there? We got this entitled thing going on, and I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't know why it's there. It's mine. I can only imagine if I would have went to my natural father and told my natural father... I got my first truck at 14, praise the Lord. I worked very hard. I paid for it with my own money. Patting myself a little bit on the back there. But I can only imagine going to my dad and saying, hey, Pops, where's my truck? I deserve a vehicle. I can only imagine going to Pastor Alex and saying, hey, Pastor Alex, you know, when are you going to let me preach? I deserve to grace the pulpit. Has slapped the entitlement right out of me. Amen? And I deserve every bit of it. Okay. A true son will always mirror and further extend his spiritual father. A true son is someone who is cultivated over time. Their character has to be proved by serving alongside their spiritual parents. Let's go to the next verse, 23. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, and as soon as I see how it goes with me. Therefore, I hope to send him at once. A true son will always help carry the load and the burden of the ministry when the burden and the load of the ministry becomes too large for the spiritual father to carry. And I'm going to touch more on that a little bit later, but that's just the next point from that particular scripture. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Now we see this in the natural sense that as children, we should honor our parents all the time. Give them honor, give them respect, and all these different things. And as I said, we have this entitlement thing going on, and it's a shame because we see all the time parents sacrificing for their children, working 2-3 jobs to make sure that their kids are fed, working 2-3 jobs, making sure that their children can have a college fund. They go out of their way and they do all these things to make sure that their child succeeds. And the minute that their child begins to succeed, they're swept to the side like a piece of trash and never returned back to. And we see parents that struggle, and you look around and you say, but where are your kids? They're off, you know, in the Bahamas having a great time. But yet you're eating ramen noodles because you broke your back trying to make sure they had a living. And it's a shame. It's a shame. Me. Let me take it. I want what I can get. I want what I can get. I want what I can get. And then when it's all said and done, okay, bye. Where's the honor in that? And unfortunately, we see the same thing in the ministry. 2 Timothy 4, 19 through 6, or 9 through 16. 2 Timothy 4, 9. 2 Timothy 4, 9.
Is everybody okay?
Amen. It says, be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, and Cretans for Galatia, and Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left at Carpus. I left with Carpus at Troas when you come. And the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, and may the Lord repay him according to his works, that you may also beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. See, unfortunately, the same thing goes for our spiritual parents. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to elevate somebody and put them as an idol in my life, because I understand who my God is, and I'm not trying to elevate pastor into a place of being a God, but I also understand that had God not provided him in my life, I probably wouldn't even be saved right now. And he's raised me up into ministry with grace and love and plenty of rebukes. Amen. Needed every one of them. It's like spanking your kids. I needed every one of them. I was a rotten little brat. Still am. Y'all just see the good side of me. Don't laugh too hard, Tara. But unfortunately, we see the same thing in the church, the spiritual parents raising up sons and daughters in the house, and they edify them, and they teach them all the things of God, and they build them up in the things of Jesus Christ, and they endorse them in ministry, and they give them position, and they do all these things for their spiritual kids because they want to see their kids succeed. A true spiritual father or mother will always seek to see their children succeed and surpass them. But the problem is when we get the position, we forget about the ones who got us there, and it's a shame. It's a shame. We see many ministers, many pastors, spiritual parents that are completely alone. They've got nobody beside them. And when all hell comes against them and all forces of the enemy are coming against them, you don't see anybody there, just like Paul. And he writes and he says, so-and-so has come against me, and so-and-so has come against me. Timothy, my faithful son, where are you? I need you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. See, the problem is character is really easy when things are going good. It's only tested when things get tough. And the problem is, in this day and age, when things get tough or something gets thrown off the pulpit and you get a little offended because there's an issue in our own hearts, we just turn and say, no, I'm going to go down the street to another church. Because it's a lot easier just to jump ship and go to another church instead of looking in the mirror and saying, and stop pointing the finger at the spiritual parents and go look in the mirror and say, maybe I'm not the true son that I should be. Maybe the problem is in him. Maybe the problem is me. Is everybody okay? I told you this isn't a shundai message. Honor is like gone. Nowadays, it's like not even relevant. It's almost like one of them Christian curse words. Honor. Honor means to be highly appreciated, honored, valued, and admired. Please understand, I'm not in any way, shape, or form placing him above God in my life. But I do highly appreciate him as my spiritual father. Is anybody else? Three ways that we honor: through our words, through our obedience, and through our substance. But please understand, and this is very, very important, honor is something that is free-willed, and it always comes from the heart. If it's not, you're shooting yourself in the foot. Honor has to come from the heart. Anytime that I've ever blessed my pastor, God has always put it on my heart first. Whether it's with obedience, whether it's with my words, whether it's with my substance, whether I've ever given him something. Please hear me out. This isn't to manipulate and to it's not what this is about. But I just have to be real. He'll put it in your heart to do something. And if there's no motive, you could care less whether he knows it was from you or not. The things that I have done, I make sure I try my best to do them in secret to where I'm not seen. Even something as silly as putting drinks in the fridge so that he's got fresh cold water in his fridge at all times. I know it's something small, but I'm serving my spiritual father, and I make sure I try my best. I'd chase Hannah down. Hannah, I need a key. Please get me in the office so I can refill the fridge. He's on his way. If it's something that's truly in your heart, you'll do it freely, willingly, and it makes you happy when you do it. When it becomes a problem is when you do it for an ulterior motive. Pastor really should let me preach, so I'm going to make sure I give him a great big, you know. Amen? I love honoring, I love blessing my spiritual parents. But it's not with an ulterior motive to get something. It's because I love them and I appreciate them and I want to see them blessed. Amen? A father's vision is always realized through the sacrificed lives of his sons. I'm going to say that again. A father's vision is realized through the sacrificed lives of his sons. Abraham's faith was tested when he took Isaac up on the mountain. But see, here's the thing that we often overlook, and it's great because I've preached on that. Abraham's faith was tested. It absolutely was. I mean, I've ministered on that, and there's a lot of different things in there when it comes to Abraham's faith. But Isaac's sonship was also tested. Can we go to Genesis 22, starting in verse 1? Genesis 22 and verse 1. And now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, Take your own son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. That's amazing. Like, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine being in his shoes at that point in time. And verse 3 says, So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And notice the separation there. His donkey, two of his young men, and his son Isaac. That's important. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and he arose and he went to the place that God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. And I want to stop there for 2 seconds. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. There is a place that the son and the daughter will ascend that is higher than a hireling and a servant. Somebody should get excited about that. If you're a son and a daughter in the house, you should be like jumping up and down on your feet because that's like great news. Stay here with the donkey and the lad and I will go yonder and worship. And then I find this next statement totally just, can I take just a little just squirrel moment? Okay, maybe you haven't seen it. There's a meme on Facebook, you know, for people that like, you know, just whoo, you know, and they'll be talking, having a good conversation. Squirrel. Right. Okay. All right. The young people got it. It says, and we will come back to you. That's a pretty profound statement considering that God had told you to take your son Isaac up there to sacrifice him. But before they even got up there, before that, the lamb, before the bull was given to him in place of his son Isaac, he says, don't worry, y'all stay here. Me and the boy are going up to worship. We're coming back. Ooh, that's some faith. That's some faith. Okay, that was a little side note. We went on this big thing in that in the youth, and it was a great time. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. And then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. together. And then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Let me just do something here, because I'm running desperately out of time. Okay. Can we go back to verse 6, please? So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. This is what I talked about earlier. A true son will always carry the load and the burden of his father when the load and the burden is too much for the father. Isaac carried the wood while Abraham carried the knife in the fire. And we could go into this big thing about the knife and the fire being, you know, the thing that causes the sacrifice and the thing, the fire of God, and how he carried the, but I'm not going to go down that road. The fact of the matter is that he carried the burden, the load, the heavy thing. He walked up the mountain. He was the one on the front lines making sure that the path was easy for the father. Pops, I want to make sure you make it. Don't worry, I got the heavy load. You just go and do what you need to do to get prepared for Sunday so that you're hearing the word of the Lord. We'll take care of things back at the home front for you, Pops. Make sure, I just want to make sure that you get what you need done, and I'm here. I'm going to carry the load. What do you need? Instead of what can I get, it's what do you need? How can I help? How can I be of assistance? How can I help you? Is there something I can carry? Is there something I can do to make your job a little bit easier? We always want to come with all of our problems and all of our needs, and there's a time and a place for that. I got plenty of them all the time. I feel bad for them. Pastor Alex comes out of his office, and between me, Tara, and Maria, and Matt, we're busy elbowing each other down the hallway to get to him first. Just had seven counseling sessions back to back to back. He's sweating, thirsty, can't breathe. Pastor, I have a problem. Help! Amen. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. Turn to your neighbor and say they went together. A true son will always walk in unity and agreement with his spiritual father. And then he questions him, and he says, "Here I am." He says, "My father." He says, "Here I am." And then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" He's probably getting a little nervous. Huh? Pops, what are we fixing to go do? I mean, I got the wood, you got the knife and the fire, but I don't see the offering. Now watch what he says next. "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." And so the two of them went together. A true son must trust and believe that his father hears from God. Amen. Amen. Vision Sunday is coming up. We're going to have a gym. And we're going to have a cafe, and we're going to have a this, and we're going to have a that. Hey, amen. We got to stop questioning and saying, "How? Is it, are you sure you heard correctly?" And just say, put on your work boots and say, "All right, let's go. I'm ready to work. Fire watch. I sleep here at the church. There's nails laying on the floor and dust in it." Well, the fire watch was my fault. I broke a sprinkler head, but it's not that funny. I'm here. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do it. Let's go. Let's get this done. If you see it and you believe it, that's enough for me. I'm behind you. I'll walk this out with you. I believe that you see is true. And if I'm a true son, I submit to that word. I submit to what you say. Let's get it done. Let's go. Let's go. So I love Vision Sunday. Because for many people on Vision Sunday, it's a hope and a dream. But for true sons and daughters in the house, Vision Sunday is a glimpse into what is about to take place. Because we trust that our spiritual oversight sees and hears from the Lord. The proof is in the pudding. The fruit is on the tree. How many more times does it have to be correct for us to stop questioning all the time? Get all upset and run out of the church because I don't like what Pastor threw out on the pulpit on Sunday. Well, stop pointing a finger at him. There's four more pointing back at us. Amen. Okay. So the two of them went together. Verse 9, and they came to the place where God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. A true son will lay down his life and his ministry for his father. And it's in that place that there's preservation. It's in that place that there's provision. It's in that place that there's a great miracle. I know God called you to the nations, but right now, this is where I'm supposed to be. Don't rush the progression. See, and I'm going to finish here because we're running a little bit late. I'm not even going to, I had Elijah and Elisha. I love it. I absolutely love it. Another beautiful example of father and son relationship. Ruth and Naomi. Ladies. It's in there too. I just didn't get to it. This is really like a two-part deal, but it's okay. Elijah and Elisha. And what is the most amazing to me is consistently throughout the walk that he's on, Elisha keeps being told, leave me alone, go somewhere, stop following me, get away from me. And at the end of Elijah's life, the other prophets approach him and say, don't you know that he's going? And he says, hush, be quiet, you, I don't want to hear it. For as my soul lives, if I see you go, who got the double portion? The one sitting on the bank talking about how he's washed up, he's done, he's at the end of his journey, or the one that was there with him right until the very end? Listen, I don't want to be one of those sidewalk prophets on the end of the bank pointing the finger saying he's washed up, he's done, it's over, the road is over. I want to be the one that's standing right there with him when he goes, I made it to the end, I'm here with you, and I'm going to get my double portion. It's mine. I take it. I receive it. So the choice is ours. Amen. Does everybody still love me? A little bit. I know it's a tough word. But for those of you in the house that are sons and daughters, this should just, I'd be jumping inside. As jealous as I am for my spiritual father, I will share him. I got you, Tara. I'm the favorite. I'm just kidding. I'm really not. I'm really not. Big joke. Just big joke. I'm really not. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm really not. Oh, my goodness. Tara's actually the favorite. No. Now we're both in trouble. That's right. Amen.
Amen.
We all have a part of this, and the choice is on us. You can decide. Please, please remember, it's in your heart to do it willingly. Do not go in with a motive. Amen? Can we pray? Father, in this place tonight, I give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that as your word has come forth, Father, that it would fall on fertile ground and bear forth much fruit. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that this would be a ministry that is marked with many sons and daughters. Father, I pray that this ministry would be the one that breaks the chains. I pray that this ministry would be the one that even other ministries would look at and say, they got it right. No manipulation, no twisting of the arm, but there is spiritual sons and daughters that carry the same DNA. And if we're to take the fire of God to this city and nation, and the city and nation, one man cannot do it alone. There needs to be sons and daughters birthed in the faith. Father, let this house be a house. God, let this be a house that is marked with true sons and daughters. Father, that we would rise up in the faith and know our position and never step out of rank and file. And Father, take this vision that you have given our oversight and we would run with it, Father. That we would see great victory and expansion of your kingdom. Because Father, at the end of the day, this is all about you and you alone. Father, we're so thankful for the oversight that you have placed in our lives. And Father, we pray that you would just continue to speak to them, that you would continue to anoint them, that you would continue to use them, Father, as they teach and edify and build us up. Father, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for what you are doing in Vero Beach. Surely this whole work is because of your hands. So, Father, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory in Jesus' mighty and precious name. And everyone agreed and said, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.